Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
And so we're going to take just a moment and pray over our nation. We're going to come down here at the end of service. We're going to be in the altar praying for our nation. But Father, we just lift up the Kirk family to you right now, his wife, his two precious kids, and his parents, and those that are just in that immediate family, Lord. And we know, God, by their own demonstration, that they have already been in contact with the Comforter of the Holy Ghost in their life. It has been very evident in the manner that they've handled this and their strategy to go forward. But Lord, their hearts are still grieving, and that's why you said you would not leave us without a comforter. So Father, we pray the comforter would come to them. And then Lord, in the past few weeks, the young lady that was tragically murdered on the subway, her family overseas, Ukraine, God, all of it, Father. And Lord, our nation does not have any kind of problem other than good versus evil. It is not a political problem. It is not a gun problem. It is not a left-right problem. We have a problem with evil. And we always will till Jesus prevails. But Lord, we're here to prevail with him, to him, and through him in Jesus' name. And so, Father, give us a strategy and our leaders to take this nation forward in healing and the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be in part six, and it's the final part. Now, don't get me wrong, I could preach on, and if you've paid attention for years now, I preach a lot about the kingdom of God. Okay, it's sprinkled in all throughout. Why? Because it was what Jesus preached. And if we're going to preach Jesus, I've seen a thing that says a lot of people preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they fail to preach the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Now, think about that for a minute. And I don't know about you, but hopefully in this series you are learning that when you're reading your Bible or studying or even listening to it, how much more it's starting to come out as you pay attention to what the message and the whole thing about the kingdom of God on earth is. And so today we come to a final close of this message in a series as far as just on the kingdom, but you will continue to hear kingdom preaching from this platform as long as I'm alive. Amen. Okay, on planet earth. So, with that being said, I've got a few questions to kind of put this in perspective today. Now, you're going to want to stay connected to this message today because I'm trying to cover a lot of ground in this final message. There's so much more to the kingdom, and again, we're just scratching the surface. I absolutely will show you a verse in the Bible today that you have never seen before. Absolutely, it's in there. You've never seen it before. But I want to start out with a question. Why do you speak English? Why are we speaking English? Why are we not speaking Chinese or some form of Hebrew? Or why are we not speaking German? Some of y'all may can. But your main language is English, everybody in here. There's a reason for that. Why and where we're at, why do we drive on the right side of the road and not the left? If you've ever been to a nation that drives on the left, that will flat throw you for a loop. I mean, you're like, oh, okay. Scary. But we don't drive on the left in America. We drive on the right side of the road. And why do we use the American dollar? Why are we on the American dollar, not on the yen or the new currency that's going on, the euro? Why do we use the American dollar? Right, we're America. America, baby. America. Okay? God bless America. But it's because we had the distinct privilege of being born into the United States of America. Say amen. Amen. So in other words, this is the culture you are born into. And in this culture, you have rights given to you. Amen? Amen. And in this nation, you have a language that you speak. Every country has a culture. Every culture has certain rights and a language that they speak. Everybody say culture,
culture.
Rights, and language. That distinguishes every different nation on the face of the earth. But because we were born here, we speak English. We drive on the right side of the road. We use a U.S. dollar. Okay? Thank you, God, for that. Amen. Now, that's why, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, the word born again really only appears one time in the Bible, and is when Jesus is speaking with a religious leader called Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him at night and was questioning him, you're a great teacher, we feel like you could be the man. And he said, what do we got to do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus says, you must be born again. And why did he use the phrase born again? Because he never used it again. It's always the salvation of your Lord that you may be saved. But he used born again, and born again means this right here. Born again, because, now pay attention, lean in. The reason we got to be born again is to get the culture, the rights, and the language of the kingdom of heaven on earth. I speak English because I'm an American. I drive on the right side of the road because I was born in America. It is my birth rights. It is my birth culture, and I have this English as my birth language. That's why this will never be good enough to inherit the fullness of the kingdom of God. So I need to get born again of another country, another kingdom that has the culture of the king, the rights of the kingdom, and the language to speak it. Well, so we just jump in the deep end right out of the gate this morning. So go ahead and put up the first note. You must be born again so you can take on the culture, the rights, and the language of the kingdom of God. Because it's not natural in this culture we're in. That's why we got to get born again. This is yes. Now go ahead and put up the next note real quick. Everybody say God's purpose. Anytime you teach or preach on the kingdom, you got to go back to what the purpose is. God's purpose was and still is today to dominate the whole earth with the government of heaven. From the garden to where we're at now, the whole purpose of planet earth is for him to have dominion to dominate the earth with his kingdom government. Now we got to make sure you understand that. Because even in the events of the last few weeks, with all the tragic deaths and things of that nature, you hear a lot of this right here. Oh, we got to learn to coexist. We got to learn to coexist. And while that sounds pretty in the natural realm, it goes against the very nature of the biblical principles of the kingdom of God. Let me make sure you understand what the church and the Jesus Christ came and died to make you citizens of his kingdom on earth is not to coexist, but to take over. Yes, you can give a little golf clap there. I'm not here to coexist with other systems and religions and say we're all the same. Oh, you're being mean. No, I'm being biblical. We were supposed to, we're designed to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle of the ground, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. That was the original commission to mankind. Not to coexist with it, to have dominion, to dominate. Not coexist. Now, we're in a fallen world. We have to be around these people, but we cannot take on their standards. We are supposed to occupy till he comes. And not just inside these walls. As a matter of fact, we need to get outside these walls a whole lot more, which is what cost Mr. Charlie his life. Now, let's go ahead and put up the next note. I want to talk about the colony that we call earth. Everybody say the colony. Because we're a colony of heaven. He created land. And he seized that land, and he took that land, and he gave us dominion over it through his kingdom. So earth is a colony of heaven. Okay? Now, I read the scripture first, then I give you the Greek definition or the Hebrew definition. But I want to give you the definition first this time before I read the verse. And before I read the verse, we're going to quote, because many of you will be able to quote this verse. Okay, so just hang on. So let's go ahead, everybody say the planet Earth. All right, let's put up the Hebrew definition for the word earth. Earth means a noun meaning the earth. Everybody say, well, duh. Okay. It means land, and it refers to the whole earth under God's dominion. And if you study it on out a little deeper, especially if you go to the Greek word of it, it means the land, everything that is on the land as far as the natural resources that God created, the trees, the mountains, the rocks, the ocean, the fish. You understand? And that's the earth. Everybody say, that's the earth. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on. Now, don't put the verse up yet. I want to quote the first part of Psalm 24:1. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. The earth is the Lord's. He created it. It's His. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it means the trees, the animals, everything on it. Perfect. What a world He created. Amen? Amen. But how many know there's another line to finish that verse off? Now, when I say there's another line, listen to me. I'm not trying to show you that I know everything. Because I didn't see this for a long time either. I don't like preachers that get up there and go, now they've studied one verse all week and they get up there and act like, if you don't know it like I know it, you're just not as saved as I am. I've never liked that attitude from the pulpit, so I'm not trying to give you this attitude today because I've read this verse hundreds of times probably and never really paid attention to the last part of that. I've always quoted it. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But then there's something else in the same verse that I never really paid attention to. So go ahead and put up the verse. The earth is the Lord and all its fullness. Now watch this. Then it changes right here. Same verse. The world. The world and those who dwell therein. So we have the earth and the world. Aren't they the same? No. Much like spirit, soul, and body, most Christians look at the spirit and soul as being the exact same thing, and they're totally different. They're nowhere near the same thing. Just like the earth and the world is two completely different things to God and His kingdom. Are y'all with me? Now, the world is what got corrupt. When Adam and Eve forfeited the world's systems over to the enemy, he took control of those. The earth did not get corrupt. The land is still good. The oceans are still good. Trees still grow. They're not corrupt in and of themselves. So creation is still good. It's the world that became corrupt, that lives on planet Earth. Oh, stay with me. We're going to learn some kingdom stuff today. Amen? So, matter of fact, when Christopher Columbus came to America, they discovered it and said, we've discovered a new world. They didn't proclaim we've discovered new Earth. Come on now. We were called the new world. It's a whole new world. Okay. That's my best impression, though. I'm going on now. So now, in this whole new world, and across all the world in the earth, God calls us to a partnership with Him. Since the kingdom of God was lost through the garden in Adam and Eve, He had to send Jesus to get the kingdom back on the earth, back on the earth, and into all the world. So He sent His Son to die for you and me where we could be born again. We get a new culture. Come on. We get a new culture. We get new rights. And we also have a heavenly language we can talk to God in. In case you don't understand, we're talking about the gift of speaking in tongues. Yes, it's real. Why? Because it's a new language. It's the language of the kingdom. Okay? Are you with me? So we have what we call the great co-mission. It's the co-mission that we're involved in with God to get the heaven's kingdom of heaven back on earth into the world. Everybody say into the world. So go ahead and put that note up. The Great Commission is the kingdom expansion on the whole world. Not the earth, but the world. Just hang with me a few more minutes. It's going to start making sense. Now, before I go any further, Let me make sure you understand. We're here on planet Earth. Look at your neighbor and say, you're here on planet Earth, by the way. Some of them's going to go, really? And you have a purpose. God put you here. And this is a quote we get from the Bible, but for such a time as this. And in other words, with what's went on in the last few weeks, what are we on earth going to do with this opportunity? Is it just going to be another thing that bypasses us and gone in a few weeks? Or are we going to have a strategy to help make the difference? The Christian faith is not about being born and dying and going to heaven. Not all it's about. In other words, I'm not here and you're not here, but now religion has told us this is our purpose. Religion has said, get born on earth, struggle, find Jesus, get Jesus, and then wait to go to heaven. And hope you don't screw it up bad where you don't miss heaven, even though you're born again. That's the whole mission that we've been taught that religion teaches. Get born again where you can go to heaven. That's not the reason you get born again completely. Heaven is a great byproduct of your salvation. But you are not here on earth to work for your salvation. You're not here to work for your... I can't work for my salvation. Because of my salvation, I have a work now that is greater than anything I've ever been put here for. But I'm not here... Once I got born again, heaven's in my path. But there's something between heaven and now that I've got to walk out until I get to heaven. And that's our work. That's our purpose. I'm not sitting around waiting to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven when I get through with my work on earth. But while we're on earth as a church, as a body, as citizens of a kingdom of heaven on earth, we've got a purpose in God's earth. To the world. Everybody say, to the world. So, you work to advance the kingdom of God on earth, and then when your work is over, then you go to heaven. Don't sit around and wait to go to heaven. Do something while you're here that matters. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. These are the words of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords out of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ himself says, and this gospel of the first church of the Southside Tracts. The gospel of something is going to be preached. What is it? Again, we preach the gospel of Jesus, but we very seldom preach the gospel that Jesus preached. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world, not into all the earth. Trees don't need to get saved. Mountains don't need to be born again. They're the structure on which we operate, the kingdom of God. It's the colony, it's the territory we don't have dominion over. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then when that happens, God gives us another promise, then the end will come. The goal is not the end. The goal is in between till you get to the end. And what is the goal? Preach the kingdom. Now again, I'm not reading out of some funky translation, y'all. This is the New King James Version, and if you go back to the King James, it pretty much says the exact same words, even the 1611 one. Some of y'all laugh at that, and you know why. There are some people who believe if you don't have a 1611 King James Bible, you are going to hell, because that's the one Paul toted, you know. And I love my 1611 people out there. Just save the emails, because I'm not going to read them much past your hate, and I'm just going to delete you. But if it does you good to send me one, just go ahead and fill your little heart. They don't understand every translation into English was not the original language. It was translated. Okay. And can I tell you, it has a mistake in it. The original 1611 King James Bible says, think not in the hour what to pray, for the Holy Ghost itself will give you utterance. The Holy Ghost is not a it. They corrected it in later versions, said the Holy Ghost himself, because he's a person, not an it. But that's splitting hairs, I know, but I love y'all. Are y'all okay? Preach the gospel of the kingdom into the world, not the earth. Now I want to give you the definition of the word world. Everybody say world. Go ahead and put it up. It's the word cosmos, not spelt with a C, but with a K. K-O-M-O-S, cosmos. And cosmos means this right here. It means world. Its primary meaning is being in order. Everybody say being in order. Now, being in order, if you study that word out, it means this right here. It means systems that bring order. It means governments or governance that bring order. And it means influence. And another word that you could also put up there is the word slash control. So anywhere that there's a system of control, influence, and governments, that's a world. Tomorrow, most of us will go into the job world. Come on. We'll go into the world of the workforce. Are you okay? Now, again, what's the difference between the earth and the world? The earth is the form. The world, when it talks about the world in the Bible, is talking about the systems, the influence, and the government that is controlling certain aspects of the earthly realm. Y'all okay? We call it the banking world. The banking world influences and has governmental structure in it to tell us how our dollar is, the interest rate, and things like that. It controls the system. That's the banking world. There's lots of worlds, okay? Now, in our Constitution, section mark, subchapter 16, articles 15 and 16 of the Constitution, for those that don't understand that, that's Mark 16, 15 and 16. We're actually going to go through verse 18. Again, Jesus speaking, and he said to them, go into all the world. And the Greek word for world is what? Cosmos. And the definition of cosmos is what? Systems, government, and influence. Go into the systems, go into the influences, and go into the government. Go into the banking world. Go into the job world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now watch this in verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Stop right there. Condemned. Now, when it talks about going to the world, go into this place of government, this place of influence. Come on. What else is it? Systems, control. Go into this world with the culture of the kingdom, the rights of the kingdom, and the language of the kingdom. Now, the language of the kingdom is spiritual tongues, but is also your native language, under knowing how to explain the kingdom gospel to people that they can understand. Okay, it's twofold there. Now, if you go down to verse 17, now let's pick up still Jesus. And so he says, when you do this, here's what's going to be proof. Now, we're going to stop in verse 17 for a minute. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, in Jesus' name. They will, number one, what? They will cast out demons. And they will speak with new tongues. In other words, you have available the power to now speak the culture and rights and language of the heavenly, the mother country, which is heaven on earth. I know what it sounds. But the first thing he tells us is, if you will walk into this world with the culture, the language, and the rights of a kingdom citizen, the first thing you're going to be able to do is cast out demons. And we see that oftentimes as a person comes up and they're like, and you go, Jesus! And they, okay, I'm free. And while that can be a part of it, you got to get kingdomized and see it through cosmos. Demons are nothing more than squatters. What do squatters do? They find some place that's empty and they set up camp in there. It doesn't belong to them. They do not have legal authority or right to be there. And when you come home, you can evict them because it belongs to you. You're not to coexist with them. You own it. Now we got to get that kingdom world mindset. Look at this verse again. When he tells us, leave that verse up there. We're going to come back to it. Leave this one up here. Go into all the cosmos. Go into all the systems in the world and preach the gospel to these systems. And if their systems are there and their people are that don't need to be there, you can tell them to leave because the kingdom is at hand. Oh, we're going to go deeper. Don't worry. Finishing up, verse 18. They will take up serpents. Ooh. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is why you got to be born again into the kingdom culture of God. Because now when you're born again into the kingdom, you have the culture and you have the right now to cast out squatters out of the systems, out of this world. Are y'all okay? Kingdom system came first. Kingdom system was lost. Jesus regained it, and now we are to implement it. Let me show it to you in the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Jesus speaking again, written in red. Then the king will say to those on his right, come and be blessed of my Father. Inherit the... Didn't say religions. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from when? From the foundation of the world, cosmos. From the first beginning system, who was heaven on earth, paradise in the garden, who got corrupted and mankind come in, and now Jesus has went and paid the ultimate price for us to have everything back, have the culture, the authority, the rights, the language, to go out into the world and take it back and occupy till he comes. Ask your neighbor if they're okay. Never heard a message like this before. Well, it's fixing to get better. I want to go now into the book of Luke, chapter 16, article 8. Don't put it up, though. And there's two parts to 8, by the way, and we're going to break them down into the two parts. But I'm just for the sake of time, because we're covering so much ground today, I'll tell you what this parable basically is. It is about it calls it a rich man and a steward. If we put it in more modern day language, we put it as an owner or a ruler and his manager. And this man's leaving his manager in charge, and he goes away, and his manager's lazy. His manager ain't doing what he needs to be doing. Sound like a workforce in America today sometimes. He's apathetic. He doesn't do what he needs to be doing. And the owner, the ruler, finds out that he's not managing it well. He comes home and says, buddy, you've messed up. You're fixing to be fired. You're fixing to be a regular worker. You're not going to be my manager no more. And it basically, if you read into it, it stokes a fire in that manager, and he starts going out and doing what he's supposed to be doing now. He goes out and starts saying, okay, how much debt do you owe? Okay, well, mark this much, at least pay this. And he's starting to function like he was designed to function in the first place, which there's a whole message in that I don't have time to preach. But when he does that, Jesus, the ruler, comes back and has a second meeting with him. And I want to get to verse 8, article 8 of a constitution, to where this ruler has a discussion with the manager now that he's perked up a little bit. Now watch what he says here. Go ahead and put up the first part of Luke 16, 8. So the master commended the unjust, and he calls him unjust, the unjust steward or the manager, because he had dealt shrewdly. Now leave that up here. Now the word commended there means he praised this unjustly ruler, this unjustly manager he's got. He gave him some praise. Even though he's unjust, he's starting to do right. But then it says, why? Because he dealt shrewdly with these people. And we often look at the word shrewdly and say, oh man, how could Jesus promote someone like that? Or how could the ruler? Go ahead and put up the definition of shrewdly. Shrewdly is not a bad word. Shrewdly means wise. The Greek definition of shrewdly, it denotes the wise, prudent, in a sensible manner in which one conducts himself and his affairs. So he says, you've been unjust, but you've made a correction, and now I praise you, and you're wise. Wow. That's in your Bible. And then, don't put it up yet, and then this ruler, which we know is Jesus and the God, the Father, makes an unparalleled statement that really should rock the church in our core. Because watch what he tells this. Go ahead and put up. This is all the words of Jesus. Go ahead and put up the rest of verse 8. For the sons of this world are more shrewd, more wise in their generation than the sons of light. And we're living in that same generation right now. Why do you think nearly every person in here works for a company owned by somebody who's not a follower of Jesus Christ? Because they know how to be wise with the resources they've been given. Some of them can even apply the principles of the Bible leadership to their companies and grow without ever surrendering their life to Christ. And unfortunately, we work for a lot of them. Now, there are a lot of good Christian companies, but we need more. But it's like the church has said, no, just stay in these four walls, go out there and work for the world and come back in here. Jesus says, go to the world, go to the cosmos systems and take them. But we don't take them because we've never been taught we can have them. And to have them, you got to work. You got to be wise. And you got to be shrewd. I love to be around shrewd people. They're wise. They get to the point. They cut through the mess. They say, this is what it takes. Let's do this. And as long as it doesn't violate God, you can be around that person. Wow. The sons of the world, the sons of the worldly cosmos are wiser than the people that are sons of light. Wow. Religion has taught us, stay inside these walls, church, and worship. Don't go out into the world. Stay in here. Oh, I'm holy. I touch not, taste not, see not, want not. I just want to work in a Christian environment. How are you going to save a world you won't go into? How are we going to save a world we're afraid of? It might cost us our life. This message was prepared years ago. It's not coincident that this word is preached today. Charlie Kirst was this person who went into the world system and took the world of Christ in there. And it got him killed. But it's going to advance the kingdom like crazy. Religion teaches us to stay inside the walls of the church and just speak the Christianese language. Sit around and talk about the redemptive blood of Jesus. Our triune God of the apocalypse coming that we're going to be snatched away from, escapism. Just speak Christianese to all your Christianese friends. Well, the world is dying and going to hell. And we can't speak their language. We can't get around them. We can't do nothing with them. And we don't even invite them half the time to the church. I love y'all. The Bible says go into all the world. Go into politics. Go into business. Go into education. Go into every place that there's a system set up where the system of this worldly people are running it and start making your way in there. And start having kingdom influence, kingdom culture, and kingdom rights while you're there. Will you face opposition? Probably so. Could it cost you your life? Yeah, but what a way to go. What a way to go. Money equals influence. Oh, the church, we just want to sit here and sing kumbaya and do praise and worship and have our thing and we're gonna pray the blessings down. Lord, what's this? Money cometh. Listen to me now, and I'm trying to be real respectful, but you're just stupid. you want to do all this stuff. Oh, I want to pray in tongues, but you can't even tithe. Sha-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, I ain't tithing. I can't afford to. Listen to me now. I'm not here to preach on tithing. But let me tell you something about tithing. Tithing is not because God needs money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. The gold, the silver, the platinum, everything about the earth, all the money, it's his anyway. Listen to me. This ain't in your notes, but you might want to write this down. Tithing is a management training system of the kingdom of God. Because if you can't manage to do that, but yet you're going to pray in tongues and tell God the money to cometh, money don't just cometh. Nowhere in the Bible does money just cometh. Yeah, it did. They was needing to pay taxes. They went down and fished, and it, in the mouth there was a gold coin. They had to go fish. They had to walk. They had to get a pole. They had to get a line. They had to get a hook. They had to get bait. They had to cast. And they had to act on faith to do that. Now, this is in your notes. Oh, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Well, just keep sitting there and waiting. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. It does not say he'll give you wealth. The word power means ability. That means he's given you a set of skills that if you will apply yourself, you will be able to get wealth. But you got to go get it. It don't cometh until you goeth and get you a jobeth, start you a businesseth, traineth, get some schooleth, praise Godeth. King James 11, y'all ought to be proud of me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now therefore, now he's talking to Joshua here, arise, everybody say, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Now watch verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Ha, 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 ha. You missed it. Oh, it's a given. They got the land. No. First of all, they had to leave Jordan and go somewhere. And then every place they had to put their foot, they had to do this to get land. Oh, and while they were doing this, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Moabites, the Shiites, they had to fight all the ites to get that land that was promised to them, given. The land didn't just cometh. Get out of that religious mindset that you can just speak money in and it'll come in. If you're going to win Publishers Clearing House, you have to register for that. If you win the lottery, you at least had to go buy a ticket. Yeah, right now in Alabama, you had to drive to another state or give some money to one of your friends that do drive to another state. I love y'all. I'm having fun. Now, I told you at the beginning of this, I'm going to show you a verse you've never seen before. Are you ready to see it? A verse that most Christians never see in the Bible. It comes from our Constitution, and it is the words of Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You've never seen this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Eternal and everlasting life. We've known that verse all of our lives. Not through kingdom, you have it. For God so loved the what?
World.
There it is. Religion teaches you this as people. People are involved. People are involved in the world. But what have we learned today? Cosmos is what? This is the same word, cosmos. Cosmos is what? Systems? Influence, government, and control. Go into these systems. Go into the governments. Go into the places that's got influence and controlling parts of my earth. I so love the system. God loves, listen to me now, God absolutely loves politics. Boy, y'all are quiet. God loves politics when it's under the culture, the rights, and the influence of the kingdom of God. God loves politics. He established it. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And the book of Isaiah, talking about the birth of the Savior. There's a government, not governments, one government coming on the shoulder, and of his government there shall be no end. He's not anti-government. He's not anti-politics. Now, he's anti the corruption that we've allowed to take over. And do you know how stupid we are? We won't run for politics. We'll wait for some of the most scummy people on the planet Earth to raise up in there and go, well, let me pick the worst one or the best of the worst and put them in there, and then they're going to make decisions. They're not saved. They're not full of the Holy Ghost. They're not walking with kingdom wisdom and knowledge. What do you expect their policies to be? But then you, the church, we the church want to sit back and complain about it. Well, I don't want to go in there because it's messy. Yes, it's messy. Why? Because we forfeited that system, that world, over to the world of darkness. When we're the sons of the light. We got to get up in the middle of politics. Touch your neighbor and say, run for office. Some of y'all are like, I ain't touching that. That's the problem. And I know some of you in here with your little smart aleck thing, well, why don't you run for office? I'm already in one. I already occupy an office that you didn't even get to vote on. Thank God you didn't. I probably wouldn't be here today. God so loved the systems. God so loved his governing kingdom systems that he sent Jesus to die where he could have all the systems back under his kingdom influence on earth. Let me prove it to you. Look at verse 17. Still the words of Jesus written in red. For God did not send his son into the systems, the cosmos, to condemn the cosmos. The systems are not condemned. It's the people running them. Man, for God did not send his son into the cosmos to condemn the cosmos systems of the world, but that the cosmos, the systems of the world, through him might be saved. Don't get excited. And the problem with it is because Satan has ruled and reigned so long, you can't even fathom a world like that no more. Oh, that's good preaching, but it'll never happen. And you're absolutely right, as long as we sit on our butt on a chair just for a few hours a week and stay inside these four walls and not get out into the world that God created and told us to go to. A man would still be alive today. A wife would still have a husband today, and two kids would grow up with their father today if we would have done the Great Commission. Because somebody would have got to that young man before he got radicalized. John chapter 8, verse 12. No, let's see. Yeah, let's go there. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus is speaking to religious people. Everybody say religious folks. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the cosmos. I'm the light of every system. I'm the light of every structure, every government, every influence. Now watch this. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have this light of life. You and I are born again to redeem the systems while we're here. To redeem the cosmos world that we live in and we have influence to and we have privy to. We're here to redeem that worldly system. We're here to redeem all the things that's going on. But you got to be redeemed. Once you're redeemed yourself through Jesus Christ, you now have a purpose to redeem the earth. There's only two kingdoms on planet Earth, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And he says, when you know him, you're no longer of a world system. You're now of a kingdom of light that has redeeming power to change the world. But as long as the church looks more like the world and we go into their world and adapt to them, then we get what we have right now. I know I got to move. Go down to verse 23 of John chapter 8. Again, Jesus said to them, "You are from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this cosmos system, I'm not of this cosmos system. I'm not of this world. My world looks totally different than the world that's operating on planet Earth now. And my friends, your world should look different too if you're a child of God. And I know what some of you is addressing. Well, what does it say about being in the world, not of the world? But if you're in the world, you're with him, and to be with God. I'm going to cover that before we leave. I got to go to another parable real quickly. So put up the next note. How do we take the world's systems? It's a daunting job. But people filled with the power of God, it's no problem. But it takes work, it takes effort, it takes time, and it means laying down your life sometimes too. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, it's a parable. Verse 24 through 30, real quickly, I'm going to read through the parable and try not to stop too much. Another parable he put before them saying, religion, not really, oh, wait a minute, well, no, here we go again. Jesus' words, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed, everybody say, good seed into his field. Now, let me stop there real quickly. I said I wasn't going to stop, but I am. The kingdom of heaven is like a man. That man is going to be represented as God. You're going to see that in the scriptures in a minute. Who sowed good seed. Good seeds are the kingdom citizens, you and I. Into the field. The field is not the earth. It's the world. It's the cosmos. But when you don't read these scriptures from a kingdom standpoint, you don't get the meaning. Now watch what it goes on and says. Just as Jesus still is teaching this parable. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Everybody say tares. Another word for tares is, everybody say weeds. Farmers know all about that. He sowed tares among the wheat. You're the wheat. And went his way. The enemy did that. Verse 26. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared with them. Verse 27. So the servants of the owner came to him and said, "Sir, do you not see? Did you not sow good seed into your field? How then does it have tares?" Where? How did this happen? We're asking the same question. He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, now watch this, the servants are the angels. "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" Now we're going to stop there for a minute. You want us to go get them and rip them out? Yeah, let's take them out. Let's kill them all. Verse 29, but he said no. Lest while you're gathering up the tares, you also root up the wheat with them. And then verse 30, where it really comes together. Watch this now. This is kingdom. Let them both grow together. And there it is. Let them grow together. Don't take one second. Don't take the wheat out and don't take the tares out. Let them grow up together. They're on the same earth, but there's two different systems growing here. Let them grow together. Until. Everybody say until. They're going to grow together until the harvest. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Let them grow together. Let me say it again. Go into politics. Go into business. Get into your education system, either as an educator or a parent. Be a part of the campus. Have a voice in wherever you're at. Not an obnoxious one, but one of truth and love and facts. without compromise, but yet with love. But here's what you got to remember. You are the wheat. Don't become a weed. That's the problem we have in the American church right now. We want to go out among everybody, hang out with them, but we also want to act just like them and start to look like them. You're not the tare, you're the wheat. Everybody say, I'm the wheat.
I'm the wheat.
Amen. Now it says there, this is going to happen until the time of harvest. Now I know I've got some farmers in here and they can back this up. And I'm not sure I'm using the right terminology for that. I know the terminology applies to corn, but I think it also may apply to wheat. But when the wheat and the tares, they grow together and they look similar alike, and if you're just riding by, you can't see, but when you stop and look closely, there's a big difference between the wheat and the tare, especially when it's matured and ready to be harvested. But right at harvest time, when the wheat is fully prepared to be taken, it will do what's called tossle. Is that still right, Shane? Barry, tossle? Will wheat tossle? Kinda. In other words, what wheat will do, wheat will bow. Somebody needs to get that. Wheat, when it's ready, will bow down. Tares, which is weeds, will not bow. That's how you can go in and separate it. Because the wheat will bow down. The other stands in its own pride. Look at me, who I am by myself. That didn't cost you extra. Oh, I got to move quickly. Matthew chapter 13, verse 37 through 43. I didn't need to really even preach this because Jesus preached it himself. Here's the explanation of the parable. Watch this. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And when his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tare of the field. Now he answered and said to them, watch this. This is Jesus. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 38. The field is the world, the cosmos. The good seeds are the sons of the what?
Kingdom,
not religion. We're the seeds of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one, or the sons of darkness. Verse 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are my angels. Verse 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Verse 41. For the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom, not religion. He'll gather out of his kingdom all things that offended, getting them out, and those who practice lawlessness. That means they have no authority, but they're acting like they do. Squatters. Are y'all okay? Verse 42. And they will take them and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I just pronounced the G, okay? Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And that's how you change the world. You don't run from the world. You get into the world. But you don't become the garbage of the world. You have such an anointing on your life that you have the ability, you have the power to get wealth, not just financial, but wealth inside that influence and change the culture from an earthly, worldly, satanic, demonic, hate-filled culture to the prosperity, love, compassion, and power of the anointing of God. And that's every place you put your foot. Now, real quickly, and I've preached on what's called the seven mountains of influence here before, but I want to give you what I think is more than that. I want to give you what I call the 12 systems of the world real quickly. And I want you to consider, Lord, which one do you want me to invade? Which one do you want me to dominate and occupy till you come? And real quickly, and I know we're pushing into overtime now. Number one, politics and government. Don't be afraid of that. Go into it. Pray about it. Let God direct you. And don't get corrupt when you get there. Stay surrounded by people who will lift you up in Jesus' name and call you out. Number two, go into law. Become a lawyer. Go into law enforcement. We need that. Now, let me ask you this right here. Are politics and government, how many think that's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of darkness right now? Kingdom of darkness right now. Lawyers, law enforcement. Well, let's leave law enforcement out. A lot of them is in the kingdom of God. But lawyers and the law system we have set up right now, kingdom of God running out or the kingdom of darkness? Kingdom of darkness has that right now. Economics, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of darkness running that? Kingdom of darkness is running it. Our education system, kingdom of heaven running it or kingdom of darkness running it? Kingdom of darkness. Now we have pockets, yes, we have pockets, but we don't have enough. Education system, number five, arts and entertainment, Hollywood, movies, concerts, music, kingdom of darkness or kingdom of God? Kingdom of darkness is dominating it. Business, kingdom of heaven or kingdom of darkness? Kingdom of darkness has it. Health and medical, kingdom of heaven or kingdom of darkness? Yeah, just a two-week curve. And that shot will bless you, but anyway. Blessed a lot of people to see Jesus. Number eight, media. Kingdom of heaven or kingdom of darkness? Kingdom of darkness rules that. Sports. Kingdom of heaven or kingdom of darkness? Kingdom of darkness has dominated that. And I'll call this one social. This is your relationships, marriages, your family, your counseling, your psychology. Kingdom of heaven or kingdom of darkness? Kingdom of darkness rules all that. Science! Kingdom of heaven or kingdom of darkness? Kingdom of darkness. Hold on the last one. All of those we would agree. Now again, there are Christians in all of those. And they are trying, but they don't have enough help. They don't have enough support. When they do get out there, we leave them alone. We crawl into our little church on Sunday morning, punch the time card. Look, Jesus, I did my part, and I'm going to go with the rest of the world. I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to go to the rally. I don't want to do this. I mean, somebody needs to go, but don't call on me. So all 12 of these systems, and there's more systems, this is our world we live in. And we all agree today that the world of darkness has dominated every one of these. But God so loved all of these systems that he sent Jesus where we could have every one of them back if we just get up and take them. And there's one more system. Go ahead and put up the last one. Religion. Kingdom of heaven or kingdom of darkness? When you can't preach the truth, the kingdom of darkness has you. When you can't stand up in a pulpit and say marriage is between a man and woman only, kingdom of darkness has you. When you can't stand up in a pulpit and say there's two genders, bless your heart. If you're confused, we would love to help you. We still love you. God still loves you, but that is not of God. When you can't get up in a pulpit and say that no more, kingdom of darkness has that. When you can't get up and say life begins at conception. If you can't say that, kingdom of darkness has that religion. When you can't preach the truth without somebody getting offended to the point they want to kill you, the kingdom of darkness is among you, not the kingdom of heaven. But they'll take and twist because you stand on a principle of the Word of God and you won't compromise. You will be labeled a hater, a fascist, a bigot, a Nazi, worth killing. Because you stand on the truth. Then you do it in love, just like our brother did it. He did it in a lot of love. But you do it in love, but you don't compromise. And you get out and you make a difference. I do have to address these four verses real quickly. Because people, I don't want you to misunderstand this message. Well, he's telling us to go into the world. You go into the world with the cosmos of the kingdom of heaven. You don't go into that world to look like them, talk like them, act like them, and compromise them. You go in based on your foundation of who you are in Christ to change that atmosphere through the love of God in you. And too many people, a lot of people have a good intentions. Well, I'll go just dabble over here and try to, and then the next thing you know, because you're not grounded, you don't have the full culture, you don't have the influence and the power of the kingdom, and you don't have the language. And when you don't walk in with the fullness of God and His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven in you, you get sucked into the ungodly cosmos systems. And then you think, well, I can get drunk, I can do drugs, I can cheat on my spouse, we can wife swap, we can do all this perverted crap and still be God. Let me stand in the pulpit today and say, no, you can't. You're deceived. And I love you. But it's the truth that sets you free. So let's deal with this real quickly, and then I know we're in overtime. James chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the cosmos world is enmity with God? That means it's hatred with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, that cosmos, makes himself an enemy of God. Is that counterproductive? No. It's a warning that if you don't have the world of Christ in you and you go out into that world will eat you alive. But you're not to be afraid of that world if you're full of God. And you don't go in by yourself and you don't go in without accountability. This one ain't going to be in your notes, but I'll quote this one. It's Romans chapter 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this cosmos, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You're supposed to have a transformed mind that doesn't see any of that as legal for you to operate in. And that's, again, where we got a problem with a lot of people in church. Real quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Well, sounds like he's telling us not to go in the world. No, he's saying don't go over there and get touchy-feely with what they touch. You stay pure, you stay clean, and you get out if you can't reach it and let somebody else come in there maybe. But you don't quit doing something. Are y'all okay? And I want to finish up with the words of Jesus Christ himself. A lot of y'all didn't know this was in the Bible. Because, again, religion is all about get saved and let's get out of here. Come on, come back, Jesus. Come back, Jesus. Just get me to heaven. Just get me to heaven. Don't expect nothing of me while I'm here on earth as a saved human being. John chapter 7, verse 15 and 16, the words of Jesus Christ. I do not, everybody say do not. I do not pray that you should take them out of the cosmos, out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. In other words, he wants you to be in this world, but be kept from the evil that's in it while you walk among it. Now watch this. They are not of this cosmos, just as I am not of this cosmos. Do you think for one second Jesus Christ would come down here and start sinning with people? Anybody? Jesus Christ gonna come down here and start being at the club on Friday, Saturday night. Knocking them back with the boys, staggering out, going down to the whorehouse and getting them a couple. Let's get it real. Going over here talking about somebody. Ah, oh, so-and-so, yeah, man, you know, they a liar. They. We would be appalled to say anybody would do Jesus that way. Yet we're okay with acting like that as his representatives. Because we're trying to reach, I'm trying to reach the world. No, you're acting like the world. Don't fall under that baloney. You ain't trying to reach the world. You're trying to act like the world. Because when you try to reach that world, you don't act like that world, even when everybody in that world is acting different from you. You're okay to be different. I've been weird all my life. I'm used to it. But guys, we got to make everything in life count. Because there is real evil in this world that hates you, that hates God, hates the God in you. And if you allow them to shut your mouth, then you don't have a big enough God in you. You need to try on the God of this Bible. His mouth is open with love. His mouth is open with facts and truth. And he doesn't back down but he does it with the invitation of, hey, we want you to come out of that and come to the real light. And that's what your friends need. The biggest movement right now going on in 40 years of age and younger is they want truth. Because confusion has them in a state of they don't know. Well, what about this? Well, what about the Catholic Church? What about the Protestants? What about the Mormons? What about the Church of Christ? What about the Baptists? What about this? What about they all don't even agree together. And I mean, what is the truth about abortion? What is the truth about when life starts? What is the truth about gender? What is the truth about sexuality? What is the truth about all the topics that are hot for the... And when the church doesn't have a true voice in it, we can't blame them for going everywhere else and finding out stuff that ain't God. And they're not coming to our churches by the grove right now. That's why the Bible says, go and get them and bring them in. Go into all the cosmos. Now, here's the thing about it. You can close your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, your watches, whatever you got. Most people will go into a cosmos tomorrow. You'll go into the workplace, the work world. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. Unless God just really gives you a word, don't go in there with your Bible and start going up to people and go, you filthy sinner, come here, pow! You need to get God, you low-down piece of garbage. We got those that do that. And then we wonder, I don't know why they're not coming to our church. It's kind of like some of y'all, when y'all invite somebody here, you pray for me extra, I know. I know you do. Lord, I think they're finally coming. Please don't let him do nothing stupid today, God. I want them to come back, God. So I appreciate the extra prayer. I really do. You're the living word. It dwells in you. You are the representation of Christ Jesus to everyone who sees you if you call yourself a Christian. You can have the greatest, most fun time you ever had being a child of God without any reproach on you. I mean, you look at the life of Charlie. He's smiling, having a blast. People walk up, call him every name in the book, and he'd be like, God bless you, brother, love you. Thank you for coming today. Just smile. Now, I've heard a few testimony of people who came to his rallies as atheists and saw what he had to endure and the vileness and the hatred and the spewing toward him. And they're like, if he can sit there and do that, there's got to be a God. And I've heard two testimonies this week of atheists who, because of his rallies, came to Christ as their Lord and Savior. One of them now is a youth pastor in a church. Now listen to me. To my knowledge, now I don't know, I've never been to one of their rallies or anything. I will be in the future. I've never seen Charlie Kirsch present a Bible. I've never seen him have an altar call where he wants to lay hands on you and pray for you. And that's what the one atheist said. He didn't call me forefront. He didn't pray for me. He showed me Jesus with skin on, that's not afraid to take whatever the world throws at him. Doesn't collapse like a cheap $2 suit because somebody made fun of him. God forbid somebody make fun of us for being a Christian. Just crawl up in your little earthly hole and suck your thumb. It's so hard being a Christian, I can't do it no more. Pull your thumb out of your mouth, change your diaper, and get back in the game. Jesus says, know this, they hated me before they'll ever hate you, but you will be hated for my name's sake. What part of that do you not understand? Count it all joy when you are persecuted. Count it all joy. Because that means you're living it right. Amen? So let's stand to our feet this morning. I know, man, we went into overtime. I knew I would. Sorry, Rodney. Rodney's fingers are in cramps up here. I'm going to do better next week. But I've tried to squeeze 3 messages into 1. So it's not too bad for 3 full messages. But this morning, just bow your heads. If you're here, let me tell you something. What do I do in this time of earth? What do I do in this time of tragedy? Let me tell you what you do, and I'm not here to play on your emotions or not, but you get born again. If you don't like the culture you're in, If you don't like some of the rites that's going on, and if you don't, the language is spewing and hatred and vile and cursing, and then I want to welcome you to a culture and a rites and a language that comes from a God that loves you so much he sent his own son to die for you. You don't need to leave earth. You just need to change your world to a culture, to some rites, and to language of a heavenly Father that loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to get on a cross willingly and die for your sins so you could live on planet earth and be a part of a God-changing world. And if that's you this morning and you've never done that, we don't offer you any religion here. We offer you an authentic relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is through Jesus Christ you must be born again. We don't offer you church membership right now. We're not worried about that. We're worried about where you'll spend eternity. And my friend, the Bible declares without Jesus Christ, you will not spend eternity with Christ. You will spend it in a hell that we just talked about that is a burning place where there's things gnashing at you. But because of Jesus, you will get heaven, but you'll have a kingdom work while you're here. And if you have to be perfect to do it, none of us are able to do it ourselves. But we're all a work in progress. But we love God so much that we put one foot in front of the other every day and try to take ground for him by loving him and loving people. So Father, right now, if there be anybody here and you said, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, I'm lost and I don't have a Savior, but today I want to lift my hand and declare, I cannot save myself and I'm asking Jesus to come into my life and I'm repenting of my sins and I want to be born again into the kingdom of heaven. If that's you today, just lift your hand right where you're at. Anybody? Anyone? Today, if you're here and you say, I want everything that's going on to make a difference with me. With me, not in me. Now, yeah, it makes a difference in you, but Jesus Christ should have made that biggest difference. And I love Charlie Kearse and his family, but Charlie Kearse did not die for your salvation. Only Jesus Christ did that. But something maybe is stirring in your spirit this week and in this nation. And we don't want it to go to waste. We want to put it to taking back what the enemy has stolen. In all these 12 different arenas and systems and many more that we're around every day. And how many would say today, would say, I want to ask God to use me more mightily. If that's you, just lift your hand. God, I just want to be used more mightily in this world, in this cosmos that I'll be in tomorrow. And I pray, listen to me now, put your hands down. Lots of hands. Thank you, God, for that. It's a good thing to pray. It's a good thing to raise your hand to. But you got to have a strategy. Talk is just that. It's talk. So start building you up some kind of strategy of how to answer certain questions that God would say, step into that. Oh, man, all this stuff about, you know, the homosexual stuff. Let me just tell you about it. God loves them, but he did not create them that way. And if you would read the Bible, Bible says that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that settles it. Yeah, but, yeah, I understand you. I just read the word of God. So you can start right there. But Lord, start putting in me something that's bigger than me. And that absolutely requires me to have faith. Because faith without works is dead. And I don't want to walk with dead faith. So Lord, would you just do something in me? Everybody say in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, give him praise at this house.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.